This is WGN. The Money Lady, Terry Savage, is standing right there looking at her phone. It's so rude when people are got their nose in their phone. Hello.
I was just checking out the exact low and the exact high for the Dow this year because I am so excited. We're having Dr. Bob Fralick on, and he made an incredible prediction at the Executives Club January Economic Forecast.
And then he came on this show.
And then he came on our show the next day because I was so blown away. And it's your show, so I'll let you tease how cool this is.
Well, this is what he said.
The Dow forecast for 2025 from Dr. Bob Fralick.
It'll be 50,000. It'll go 50,000 by the end of the year.
Okay, so I fell off my chair. I fell off my chair in front of the 2,000 people that come to our annual Executive Club forecast luncheon when he said it. I think that I let out a shriek and said, wait, what? And now, just let's put this in perspective. Back then, the Dow was about 41,000, okay? And then, of course, we had, that's what I was looking at, the tariff, terrible tariff of April,
yep,
when the Dow fell to an intraday low, that's what I was just looking up, of 36,311. And I called Dr. Bob some point. He was unavailable to come on. But I said, look, you know, people are calling me and texting me and posting on my Ask Terry blog. Does Dr. Bob still think Dow 50,000? And he said, yes, it's still going to be 50,000. In the middle of all that, you remember the hysteria. The S&P was down 20% from where it had been just before the, you know, incredible tariffs were announced. So here we are today. Where are we exactly right this second? 45,100 more or less. Okay. 45,000. So 50,000 still seems a stretch.
But you know what seems a stretch is going from 36 to 45. If you said from the lowest point of the year, we will see a high 9,000 points higher later
exactly.
in the year.
I mean, I sat here saying, look, you know, maybe you'll get a chance to get even, which people did, and now it's up. You know, how do you feel about this? Do you have the long-term perspective? You need to be conservative when you're retired and so
forth. It's September. You can't get to 50 from here now.
That's the question. Can you get to 50? Does he still believe it? How would that happen?
And I would give him props if we were at 50 in March. I mean, I'll give him 3 more months.
Get him on the air.
Dr. Bob Fralick has been a guest on this show, and he's a friend of Terry Savage. Dr. Bob, as we like to call him, is a expert in global financial markets. You knew him as the one-time Kane County Cougars owner. He's an author, a lecturer, a TV personality, a major mutual fund manager, including the Hartford Fund. He's written books about global finance, and he joins us again on WGN. Hi, Dr. Bob.
It's great to be here.
Oh boy, are we glad to have you here, Dr. Bob. I want to waste no time, but I don't want to give it away just yet. Remind us, because we just played that clip of what you forecast January 14th at the Executives Club Economic Forecast, and again on our air, of Dow 50,000 this year. No hedges. Tell us why you made that forecast in January 1st.
Well, I firmly believe that, you know, interest rates are going to eventually go lower. I think that the Fed is going to, you're getting all signals now that they're actually going to lower rates. And I think the concern about the tariffs and the runaway inflation, I don't see it happening. I think that we have a global economy that's extremely competitive. And so I don't think that rates are going dramatically lower, interest rates. I don't think inflation's going dramatically lower, but I think they're both going lower. So when I looked at the landscape of investing, to me, it was lower and slower interest rate, lower and slower inflation. And when you combine those two things, they're both bullish for the stock market. It doesn't mean it goes up every day. I mean, obviously, we had a horrible April in the stock market, but in the longer term, you know, lower inflation and lower interest rates have always been bullish for stocks, which is why I think we're still going to end a really good year.
Now, wait, before you go there. So you said this in January. You were firmly convinced with the Dow, I'm trying to remember, was it in the low 40,000, 41, 42,000 when you made that forecast that it would go to 50, which was a stretch. And then the market rallied. And then we had that sickening crash in the first week in April when the dimension of the tariffs were announced. The S&P and the Dow both down nearly 20% from where they were at that moment, up from the start of the year, but a 20% drop. And we had the Dow actually below 37,000 on April 7th. It was 36,311. I remember I tried to get you were out of touch, out of the country, I believe. But you texted me back.
I think I was in investment witness protection at that time when you were.
But you assured me then, and I remember saying it on the air. No, I talked to Dr. Bob. He hasn't given up the ship, but we were at 36,000. We were down a lot. People were panicking. How did you ride that out? Tell us that before you get to where do we stand today, beginning of September, a few months left to get to 50,000. So how did you ride out that dip?
No, sir. Well, I think there's a couple wild cards that we don't appreciate enough as U.S. investors because they're not headline news and they're not headline stories and we get for granted. But I think it's very, very important, especially when the market has a sell-off like it did. You know, at the end of the day, the United States, we best stock market in the entire world. There's nothing else even close. When I say the best stock market, when you combine NASDAQ with the New York Stock Exchange, it's the largest stock market. It's the most accessible stock market in the world. It's the most transparent stock market in the world. And it's the most liquid stock market in the world. I mean, it's like a magnet for assets. So I think that we underestimate the importance of that, especially when there is a runoff, a sell-off, because that becomes then a bargain hunter's dream. You know, the other thing is, even though we always have a lot of negative headlines, companies in this country, we have the best run companies anywhere in the world. I mean, the best run companies in the world are right here in the United States. And last but not least, we have the best labor force, bar none. I mean, the best and brightest kids from all over the world, you know where they want to go to work? They all want to come to the United States to work.
Yeah.
And although this stuff isn't headline news, when you say we got the best stock market, we got the best run companies, and we got the best labor force, I think we can withstand a couple hiccups here and there.
Okay, let me follow up now because we all want to pick that statement apart in a minute. So here we are, beginning of September, October, November, December. Do you still believe the Dow will hit 50,000 or end the year at 50,000 this year, 2025?
I'm willing to give you three extra months if you need them, Bob. It's like buying down your rate at close. I'm gonna let you buy it down if you want. But what do you think, Bob?
No, I'm absolutely. I'm more committed now than I was back in January. Look, we're at 45,000. You know, 50,000. I know that number just seems so large, but it's 10%. And in my career, the market's gone up 10% in a day on multiple occasions. You know, I think there were four actually occasions because I was looking at 10% in a day. I just need 10% in 4 months. And I know that there's so much in a wall worry, and Terry has talked about it before because that's her job. You know, we have to focus on all these things, but they're all priced into the market. And in my mind, I'm not going to call it old news, but it's yesterday's news. You know, what's going to make this market go to 50,000 is, you know, well, when the Fed cuts, that's worth 1,000 points. When we finally get peace in Russia and Ukraine, which I hope is by the end of the year, that's worth 1,500.
All right, but let me interrupt you. Don't you think that the upside is already factored into the market? I mean, when the Fed, when Jerome Powell issued his last statement without moving rates, the market had a 600-point jump. Don't you think that it's already anticipating this? You make it sound like if inflation and interest stays calm, that the market is going to appreciate significantly if the rates come down a quarter point. I'm wondering if the market has already factored that in, Bob.
I think the market has factored in the quarter point, but I think you always buy the reality of when it actually happens, because I think you'll have an additional rally for there, but
you
I
do.
Think the real issue, and I maybe not the whole 600 points, but where I think you're going to get the 1,000 point is it's not going to be one and done with them. So to me, once they make that movement, they're going to cut rates multiple times between now and the end of the year. I think they cut rates 150 basis points or a percent and a half between now and then. That'll give me maybe 2,000 points. So you're right, John. We did see of that rally, but when the traders actually see the interest rate cuts, I still think you're going to get some of that.
Terry, do you think we're going to get 100?
Wait. I want to ask Dr. Bob. Let's say 2000.
I don't think we're going to get 150 basis points between now and the end of the year.
Oh, it's possible because fair value right now. But where would you get the other 3,000 from, Dr. Bob? I mean, what else? Okay, you said peace in maybe if it happens in Ukraine or maybe even in Gaza. That's a kind of a thumbs up, thumbs down kind of thing. What else good could happen in this economy when we're all worried about a slowing labor market and, all kinds of the government now buying shares in companies, that kind of stuff? What great news do you think could pop it to 50?
Well, I think that the great news is, what I mentioned when the cuts rates, if we get, peace in Russia, we get peace in with Israel, Palestine, those are one-off one thing. But I think what's actually going to keep going to 50 is the consumer's just going to keep trotting along. And I think that, look at the biggest catalyst for consumers has always been lower interest rates and low to moderate inflation. I could be wrong on both of those, but I think interest rates are going lower, and I think inflation's going to moderate. I think we blew this whole tariff thing completely out of control, didn't understand the impact of the global economy and productivity and how competitive it is. And so when I look at lower interest rates and low to moderate inflation, the consumer is what's going to drive things. And I think that, look, the consumer, two-thirds of our economy, yes, there's problems with AI and there's problems with people not getting enough money, the wages, and there's problems people don't work at work. They want to work in their pajamas at home. I get all that. But at the end of the day, I still don't think we've recovered from COVID. I think people still have pent up demand on things they want to do, things they want to buy. And I think the real story is going to be just the consumer just continuing on along September, October, November, December.
Terry Savage is in our studio. Today, we also welcome Dr. Bob Frelick, a frequent guest of ours and a good friend of Terry's. He's the author, he's the lecturer, the TV personality, and for a long time, a major mutual fund manager, including the Heartland Fund. You knew him as a baseball team owner in town and a regular guest here who optimistically said at the beginning of the year the Dow would be at 50,000 by the close. Now, we have seen a low this year of 36,311. That was a self-inflicted wound. The market has got its bearings again. And not only are we higher than the 41 that we started the year at, we're now at 45. And Dr. Bob still feels 50 is in the next 4 months within range.
Isn't that astounding? I want to go back and say that every year Dr. Bob is a featured forecaster on our Executives Club annual lunch, as he will be again this coming, the date set, Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. But this is not the first time he's made, A, an outrageous prediction, B, an outrageously bullish prediction. For the last 6 or 7 years, I think starting when the Dow was down around 12 or 13,000, he called it the buying opportunity of a lifetime. So with one exception, I think 2022, which was the weirdest year of all, Dr. Bob's been bullish and correct. So now coming back, Dr. Bob, is there anything you want to say to hedge that forecast of Dow 50,000 by the end of the year?
No, I wouldn't hedge the forecast, but I would hedge this, and that is, even though I'm extremely bullish on the stock market, probably as bullish as anyone in Chicago or maybe in the United States, I still think that you have to remember the most important principle of investing, and that's asset allocation. And so even myself, my personal finances, although I think the stock market's the place to be, I'm 75% in stocks, but I'm 15% in real estate and 5% in bonds and 5% in cash. So no matter how bullish or bearish you are, I think it's always really, really important to have some asset allocation strategy in place between stocks, bonds, cash. And I think the fourth real asset allocation class has always been real estate. So I always like to tinker within those. And then within that, you really then want to make sure you're diversified. And when I say diversified, how much stock is in the U.S. versus how much outside the U.S., how much is in large cap, small cap. So this is an investment. This isn't the lottery. You're not playing the lottery here. So you don't put all the chips on one thing and say, hey, we're going to ride this out.
Yeah, but you're 75% stocks. I think you're a little equity heavy there, sir.
I'm looking at the next 18 months, and so I'm a forward-looking person.
Do you think there's a buying opportunity then? If the Dow's at 45 and you still like 50, you're forecasting a 10% increase over the next 4 months. So do you? So if I had $10,000 right now, would you advise me to put it in an S&P index fund?
I would. I would at least 75% of it, because I think that you're going to get a nice wave running here to the end of the year. I just think that all the bad news has already been built into the market, and I just think that the consumer, as I said earlier, is going to be stronger than people think, and I think the upside is I think there's really good upside.
So
here,
just two questions from our listeners that are parallel to each other. King John, Dr. Bob does not see a market crash coming in our future, and the next one says, is a black swan event more likely than ever due to Donald Trump's impulses and geopolitical tensions? Donald Trump wakes up every day a black swan. You don't worry about the prospect of him saying or doing something that will upset your prediction?
You know, I think that it's always been there. It's just not been so vocal, is what I would say, John. And I take it back to, I would answer it this way. You know, there's great concern that he's bullying the Federal Reserve Board and there's no more independence. Well, you know, come on. Every president has tried to have influence over the Federal Reserve. For goodness sake, the Federal Reserve will determine if they have a good presidency or a bad presidency. It's just that President Trump does it in a much different way. He's always been a showman. He's always been out front. And so it makes it appear that it's bigger than it actually is. But I can tell you, every president has used different ways to influence. They just didn't do it as public as Donald Trump
did. Are you pro-tariffs?
Yes, I am pro-tariffs. I'm for fair tariffs. I don't think we had fair tariffs. And I think that I wouldn't say I'm 100% pro-tariffs, but I'm for leveling the playing field so that our companies are more competitive. We can create bigger and better jobs and better well-paying jobs. And if we have some pain along the way, I think we have to figure out how to manage that. But I'm not for tariffs for the tariff's sake, but I'm for leveling the playing field, which is extremely unlevel from a global standpoint of where we found ourselves a couple of years ago.
All right, let me bring you back to the market. There are those who say this market is, in fact, we'll get one of them back on, Jim Stack, who's been bearish for so long.
No, let's not put him on.
He's been bearish for so long, but okay. But they point out the following, that P.E. ratios are historically high, close to 30%, when the typical median is about 17.7%. That yields in the stocks are historically low, dividend yields, probably because prices are so high. That the use of margin, which we don't even think about much these days, is at historically high levels. And that the concentration of these indices is focused on tech stocks, AI-powered, the NVIDIA thing, so that the market is very narrowly focused, even though the averages and indexes make new highs. And all those who come up with these, oh my gosh, the end is nigh, point to technical, well, not technical, real things like that. Don't those kinds of things bother you when you say the market can go higher?
No. And here's why. Everything's overvalued. The people say, oh, the stock market's over. Well, so is Starbucks coffee, for goodness. It doesn't stop the line from going around the store. And so is a steak dinner at Morton's, and I still can't get a reservation on the weekend. So evaluation only means that you think prices are going to go lower. I don't think the stock market's overvalued, because I think there's at least another 10% built into it. So I don't see an overvaluation, because overvaluation only happens when it goes down, not when it's going up. And I think the fundamentals are strong enough to go forward, not to take it backwards or not to take it lower.
Yeah.
I pay attention to those things, but none of them are going to trump lower and slower interest rates, lower and slower inflation. It's going to make the market go higher for longer.
Terry, have you made a Dow prediction?
I never make a Dow prediction, but I'm going to ask Pete, our producer, to mark that comment and save it, because we will play it in January when you come back after making your January forecast. You've been, it's hard to go against you, Dr. Bob, because you've always been outrageous. You've been outrageously correct for so many times. And I guess because, generally speaking, we all hope you're right.
Yeah, if you sense a little pushback, Dr. Frelick, it's Only because, like Terry said, you are outrageous in some of your predictions. You've been accurate. You've been outrageously accurate as well. But naturally, you want to hedge against the optimism with some realism. That's what we're trying to do here. And I hope you're right as well. I hope we hit 50. I hope somebody puts $10,000 at 45, figuring it's going to get to 50, and they win. So good luck to us all. And thank you for joining us again today.
It's my pleasure, John. Remember, lower and slower interest rates and inflation, higher for longer. See you at 50,000.
There he goes. 312-981-7200. First, more business news. Here is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Merger and acquisition news. One involves the merger of two Chicago-based e-commerce software providers. Crain's reports Syndigo will acquire One World Sync in a deal valued at $3.5 billion. Syndigo provides e-commerce data management services. One World Sync makes software used in several sectors, including consumer packaged goods, consumer electronics, healthcare, and food services. Once the deal closes, Syndigo will serve about 90% of the country's biggest retailers. There's also a report in Crain's that Aon PLC is unloading wealth businesses that were purchased as part of a deal to acquire property and insurance broker NFP. Aon is selling the assets to Madison Dearborn Partners for $2.7 billion and says it plans to focus on its core product offerings moving forward. The deal includes NFP's WealthSpire Advisors, Fiduciant Advisors, and Newport Private Wealth. The deal could close later this year. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And Steve Alexander's got the business of food.
Yeah, thank you, and let's talk about nature's perfect food.
Oh, bacon.
No, Homer.
The incredible edible egg.
Nope.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
Sorry, Sam, not beef either. What is nature's perfect food? After I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today, there's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Okay, nature's perfect food? Well, it's mother's milk.
It really is.
That is Dr. Mienna Hall, who started a clinic in Lombard called Lactation MD.
Over the years, we've seen the really strong evidence that human milk feeding is optimal for infants. And we see decreased risks in things like ear infections, pneumonia, gastroenteritis for premature infants. We see decreased risk of necrotizing enterocolitis.
But as natural as it is,
there are so many challenges in attempting to provide human milk for the first 2 years of their child's life.
2 years is the recommendation, but many moms fall short, and
there can be a lot of guilt and a lot of grief.
And going to a doctor for help doesn't always work.
Many physicians are not well-versed on breastfeeding or lactation, especially with regards to pumping, unless they've had personal experience.
She had her own experiences with that.
I was a stay-at-home mom raising four kids. I had my own breastfeeding challenges, and although my physicians were supportive, they were not knowledgeable.
So, at the age of 33,
I went to medical school and residency and fellowship, and now here I am.
Here is in Lombard, where she opened her practice, Lactation MD.
It's super exciting to be able to be that physician. It's very, very gratifying.
And brand new last week to Lactation MD, it became both a dispensary and a depot for Mother's Milk Bank of the Western Great Lakes.
This allows us to dispense donor breast milk to families in need. We see them in the office, then we're able to oftentimes get that covered by insurance on behalf of the milk bank and then dispense the milk to the families immediately.
And if you find yourself with too much milk, you can get approved as a donor and drop off your milk at Dr. Mienna Hall's Lactation MD in Lombard.
2340 South Highland Avenue, Suite 280.
I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage is here, terrysavage.com. All right, you want to do some questions?
Sure, let's do that.
Hey, Terry, I love your program. I have 401k savings program with four different employers. Is it a good idea to roll them all over, or should I consolidate them to one with my current employer? Or is it better to roll over all of them to different retirement savings programs?
Okay, glad you asked. If you go to terrysavage.com, there's a search bar under the section called columns. Put in the words roll over now. That headline will give you an idea of my advice. You don't want to roll them all into your current employer's account, but you do want to roll them all into one rollover IRA. It can be done automatically. Instructions are in that article, rollover now. Then you can check your asset allocation. You can make sure you're well diversified. Do it to do it directly to Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab. You don't need advice. You just kind of diversify, maybe depending on your age, at least half in the S&P 500, maybe an equity income fund, maybe a short-term bond fund. You have a lot of choices that you don't have in a 401k plan if you do an IRA rollover.
But you are suggesting they consolidate that.
I'll consolidate those other three into that. Stick with, your, of course, your employer's 401k plan where you're getting a match, I'm sure.
Hey, Terry, I'm the co-signer on my niece's car loan. Can I refinance the loan? Can I refi the loan from the car dealership? My score's in the 800s. Will the new finance company use my credit or my niece's, which is much lower? The dealership used my credit score for the original loan.
The question is, in whose name is the car title? Because the dealership has an incentive to sell the car, and they'll use your credit to, you know, make the deal happen. But once the title, if it is just in her name and not your name, any refinancing will be done based on her credit. And so that may leave her out of luck or paying a much higher rate. Depends.
Guys, this is Maurice. Can you ask Terry, if I can't afford to fund a Roth IRA every month, are there other alternatives so that I can leave money to my heirs, starting with about $5,000, maybe let it sit for 20 years?
If you want to let the money sit, quote, sit for 20 years, you do want to do it in an IRA, and a Roth IRA means you don't get an upfront tax deduction. But if it does sit and grow and you can invest conservatively, you're better off doing it in an IRA. Now, no one says you have to do, you know, $400 a month, but if you know you're getting a bonus or a mid-year bonus and you want to put $800, $1,000 into it, you can do that. It's nice to stick to a plan and keep investing on a monthly basis, but I don't know of any better way to grow your money over a long period of time. Do we have time? I want to mention gold.
60 seconds.
Okay. Well, take a look, everybody. Gold trading at $3,637 an ounce. I bought my first gold coins at $65 an ounce. I just searched on that search bar for my columns for all the things I've ever written about gold. And one of them is January 2019. Gold is trading at $1,291 an ounce. July 2020, gold new all-time highs, nearly $2,000 an ounce. March this year, gold is now closed over $3,000. The world is saying something. They're saying that maybe the dollar and maybe the financial situation of the United States, Dr. Bob notwithstanding, with our debt and our deficits, is something to be called into question. I would bet, we don't know for sure, that it's the world's central banks stocking up on gold versus dollars. What you see is long-term interest rates, the 30-year treasury up to nearly 5% now.
You would still buy gold?
If I didn't have any, yes.
That's all the time we have today.
Oh, well, that was a golden thought to end the day, and I'll see you here next week.
TerrySavage.com is where you find her wisdom and articles and help links. Okay, Terry, thank you.